Here we go. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and please just give your attention to the reading. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Those passages refer primarily to the love that Christians are to have for one another. Now, aren't Christians supposed to love other people? Well, yeah, you can go to the parable of the Good Samaritan to understand that. But Jesus right now is specifically talking to Christians. He's saying that there ought to be something about their relationships and how they are connected with each other that makes a statement about him. That is what he says. That is a sign that Christ is alive and well within those two people. It's a statement. He says, you know, you can't murder someone, obviously. Everyone understands that. But for a Christian, they have to deal with their heart toward a person. Raca, a sign of contempt, you'd be answerable to the Sanhedrin. A Jewish person would not do that to another Jewish person, or shouldn't, or they'd give an account. But Jesus says the account goes deeper. You look at your brother or sister with disgust and disdain and say, "You fool." Now you're cut off from God. Now there's separation. So, in each of these, he is imploring his disciples, you've got to love one another. I'm going to give a longer talk, and by that I don't mean time-wise, 30 minutes, longer than I did in 2012, 2008, 2004, 2000, 96, 92, 88, 84. I was in the ministry in 80, okay? Wasn't ministry, I was a Christian in 76, but I had no public forum to say what I'm about to say here. Let me tell you what I've heard. And if you're visiting with us, welcome to family time. Okay? Let me tell you what I've heard. And I purposely, that's wrong for me to say. I purposely did not go onto Facebook. I never go on Facebook, I will when I find out someone said something about Staten Island Church Post, because John Scamardella made me register on Facebook for that reason. So I'm working on forgiveness. So these passages I'm reading myself first, all right? But I purposely, when I heard that there was some stuff said, and I don't know who said it, so that's why I didn't want to go on it. Because what I'm about to say, you may think, wow, he's talking about me. If you said these things, I'm absolutely, but I don't know who you are. I'm absolutely talking about you. That in light of the election, there was a lot of trash talk. Let me tell you, this is a personal opinion. This is not scripture. Don't take, well, this is what the Bible says. No. This is what Sheridan says. I think many times the internet is a cheap escape from character. You say things about people, you paint a picture about people, and you aren't held accountable. You can say anything you want to. And before any of you think about, wow, is he talking about those in this room that voted Democrat? Yeah. I'm also, back in 2012, I went after those that voted Republican and were all up in arms and called themselves Christians. In 2008, I went after those that were Republican and said the same thing. All right? So, believe me, I'm an equal opportunity type preacher here, okay? I'm going after every political party here. And I want you to listen to what the scriptures say. Okay? And while I'm doing this, I hope you're going to understand. I'm going to come back because I do want to resonate with any pain you feel, just like I had to in 2012 and 2008, and not just be dismissive and just, you know, I'm not going to do that. But I want you to think according to what God's Word says. Because I tell you what, in the end, if you were politically right and you sinned against your brother or sister in Christ, you've lost. You've completely lost. Okay? If someone here voted Republican and they gloated and they went on Facebook and said something like, you know, whatever, and just that, same accountability goes. Same accountability. Read Matthew 5. Read John 13. The expectation doesn't shift any, okay? So, now that everyone's good and quiet, I've got a couple of questions that I want to, and I'm just going to read some scripture here. Question number one, will you believe? Will you believe? Believe what? Let me read. John 18, verse 36. You know, I'm just going to read off of you guys get there quicker than I do. Okay. Jesus said, and he's speaking to Pontius Pilate here. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Will you believe that? Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. "Consequently, you," talking about Christians, "are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." We are no longer foreigners and strangers, but we are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not of this world. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In 2008, 2012, in 96 and 92, many people were shaken. In 2000, 2004, and 2016, many people are shaken. But Jesus' kingdom is never shaken. Jesus' kingdom, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is not of this world. And the question I have is, will you believe that? Will you really believe that? Now, how do you know if you'll believe that? Where is your hope and anchor? Please, let's just kind of stop and think a second. Let me give you my opinion on something, okay? When it comes to democracy, I agree with Winston Churchill. Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Do you know the problem? Guess what? If everyone was perfect, if everyone was without sin, any system of government would work. You could even have someone, let's say we're all perfect. Leslie's going to be, let's have a dictatorship. Leslie will be a dictator. But she's perfect, so what's she going to do? She's going to be serving us and helping us, and then she'll go, wow, I did it for a day. Let Brian be the dictator, and you know, we'll just share and all that. You see, no one's going to abuse, no one's going to manipulate, no one's going to try and take advantage. We're perfect. So what's the problem? Is that we're not perfect. We are fallen. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So democracy is about the best, in my opinion, we can do with a bunch of fallen people. It still doesn't work perfectly. You can use money and manipulate democracy. You can use information and manipulate. I mean, my goodness, what's the problem? So then let's, you know, where is your hope? If your hope is in a party, then you know what? You are going to be shaken for the rest of your life. And the real issue is, what happened to your belief? And if anyone thinks because one party was victorious, problems are solved, welcome to a loony bin, then, all right? You know why? It's fallen. It's fallen. You know, here's the thing about a democracy, my understanding. Again, this is not authoritative. This is just some guy that may not know a whole lot of what he's talking about in this area. When I read the scriptures, I'm a little more comfortable, all right? But here's the deal, guys. We're a democracy in this country. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you had better accept Sheridan Wright's way of doing things? And I'm going to bully you. I'm going to force you. I'm going to do that until you go along with me? No. You know what a democracy means? It means that a Christian and an atheist need to figure common ground, how to live together in a community. That a Muslim and a Jewish person, an agnostic and a Buddhist. And I mean, you cannot say, well, democracy, this is a Christian nation. No, it's not a democracy. That's not right to our Jewish neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, our atheist neighbors. You can't say, well, it's an atheist nation, you know, a secular. You can't do that. That's not fair to our other. So what do? We all come together and we try and figure, a bunch of fallen people, trying to figure out, how do we live together? And so it's the best we can do. But if your hope is in that, you know, you will be shaken. What do I believe? Hey, if it ends up total Republican, fine. If it ends up total Democrat, fine. If it ends up total socialist, fine. If it ends up total whatever, fine. Bottom line, I am in Jesus' kingdom. I will participate, but I will do this. I will oppose any time, any government, anywhere wants me to violate my commitment to God. Up until that point, I'm going to get to this in a little bit later. That's a problem. I get up to start talking and point three becomes point one, you know. So I'm all going all over. But bottom line, I will, you know, whatever happens, no government is going to say you need to disobey God. As long as I can consciously work within the community, I will work and I will, you know, obey. The minute they say go against God, I'm going to say what Peter says. At least God give me the courage to do that. I must obey God rather than man. All right? Okay, so will you believe or is your hope in men? Let me tell you another thing about believing. If you really believe this, that Jesus' kingdom's not of this world, then what you are focused on is pursuing life and not a living. People come to this country to make a living, or they're interested in making a living. The Bible says that in Christ was life, and that life was the light of men. I don't care who's in control of the government, I'll always find life. That's what I'm about. I want to find life, because in Christ is life. And you know what? The Democrats can't get rid of Jesus. The Republicans can't get rid of Jesus. The Communists couldn't get rid of Jesus. The Fascists can't get rid of Jesus. No one can get rid of Jesus. So if I'm looking for a better living, oh, I tell you what, that does depend on some people. You know what? I mean, a guy like me, I would have flourished in Nazi Germany, right? I'm as white as a soda cracker, and I got blue eyes, too. Okay? But what in the world? I would have sold my soul and faced God on the day of judgment for that. But it would have been a good living, right? For a guy like me, yeah. So I'm not interested in seeking a great living. There's nothing wrong with, okay, you want to make a living. You understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about bottom line stuff. I'm talking about how to think spiritually. Are you seeking life? Are you seeking Christ? Will you believe that? Second question, will you choose? Okay? Philippians 3, verses 3 through 10. Now, listen to what Paul is saying about his own sense of patriotism. Okay? I want you to understand this. For it is we, verse 3, who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul, you know what? Paul loved his heritage. He talks about that in other letters here. And he's not decrying his heritage, his patriotism, his country, the way he wants things done. But what he's saying is, when I take that and compare it to Christ, rubbish! No comparison. The choice was made. There's no, today I'm a little bit more political. No, boom! I think the whole thing about politics, Christians need to decide what they want to do. And you don't need to be bullied if you don't want to participate, and you don't need to be bullied when you do participate. Romans 14, keep that to yourself. Okay? You can keep that to yourself. There is nothing wrong with saying, this is my opinion, you want to say that on Facebook, that. But if your opinions have to go by slamming other people, because Mr. Trump won the election, let me go back to 2008, when then Senator Obama won it. Oh, man, some people want to talk about, I think he's a Muslim. Oh, I think he's a socialist. And the whole thing was the smear. That was sinful. That was sinful. You went public and you did that. Now, I think you could say, you know what? I disagree. Just like with this, President-elect Trump, I didn't vote for this. I disagree with those stands. I have a hard time with this. That's fine. Senator Obama, I have a hard time with this. That's fine. But then when you get personal, and then when you do all sorts of things, you know what? Well, so-and-so deserves it. Man, I deserve it. If you got to say something about somebody, say it about me. I'll take it. I'll take one for the team here. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't... Either way, if Secretary Clinton had won, we'd be praying for her today. I told Wayne, make sure you pray. I'm going to tell you why in a second. So, that wasn't going to change the order of service. Whoever. All right? What I'm saying is this, guys. It's your opinion. Hold to it. You could even write why you believe certain things. But you do need to be respectful. You do need to do that. And again, I'm going to talk about why in a second more. How do you do that when you believe things so deeply, and maybe you were taught to believe things so deeply? Okay? How do you do that? I'm not saying for you to just give up your opinions on things. Guys, that's ridiculous. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm asking you to do is reshuffle the deck of cards. And here's what I mean. Jesus tells me that I cannot follow Him unless I hate Deb. He said that, Luke 14, right? And yet Paul tells me in Ephesians 5, I got to love her enough to die for. Would God please make up His mind? What do I do with that? How confusing. Where are your convictions, God? What is the whole point of Luke 14? The point of Luke 14 is that we are to love Christ with an unrivaled love. He's top card on the deck, always. Everything else, you can shuffle it down there. But he is top card. And because he's top card, it does help me love her even more. But I've got to make him top card. No questions asked. That's what I've got to choose. Okay? Everything else comes under there. Everything else. I think this would be a better country if we did this policy. Okay, great. I think it'd be great. Well, it may not happen. You know, we got a lot of brothers and sisters living in countries, policies, they don't even talk about policies. They run from their lives, you know? And they still stand in the faith. And they still feel like, you know what? Life is in Christ. This kingdom will not be shaken. I'm heading somewhere better. Meanwhile, I don't disengage. I take a step forward. And we choose to make Jesus Lord. We choose to realize that the real issue of all mankind is the heart. And that's what we can help people with, to change that. Look at Ephesians 4. I'll go quickly here. Let me finish this up. Ephesians 4. Verse 17, this is what we're choosing. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Will you choose to live like that? And lastly, will you pray? Some people may go, oh man, I've been praying the whole time. No. That's... I'm talking about the prayer Paul wanted us to pray, okay? And I want you to know that there are some blood-bought brothers and sisters that if that's your feeling right now, they felt that way in 2008, in 1996, and all of that, okay? That's it. You know, the church is a place where all people come together. You know what? Let's today initiate a common party. I now announce the formation of the Knucklehead Party. I am a charter member. I have set the example. Would you all please join my party here, okay? All right? I'm trying to do humor. I don't want to make light of people's pain, but I also want you to know people have been in pain before. Brothers, sisters, we gotta come through this, okay? So, will you pray? 1 Timothy, chapter 2. I got there first. I beat them. I knew I could do it. I knew I could beat technology. I turned there first. Okay. Now Lewis is going, oh, yeah, wait until he says the next one. I'm gonna turn there first, all right? Verse 1, chapter 2. This is what Paul says. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Paul said, I want you to pray for kings, everyone in authority. Now, why do we pray for them? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Wow, yeah, because I just want everything about me, right? No, that's not. Keep reading. Keep reading. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. When you realize and believe that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and you are a citizen of that kingdom, then whoever becomes president, you may totally disagree. And senator, you may totally disagree, and you may say this, that, and the other, and in there, but you're thinking, I'm going to pray that somehow we can have peaceful and godly lives so that people can come to a knowledge of Christ. That's on my heart. That's a kingdom heart. That's a heart that wants to. And Paul said, this is what you do. Will you pray? I'm going to give you a chance, Lewis. Romans 13. I didn't even turn there first. Oh, look at that. What a show off. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Verse 1. Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, for those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but only for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. All authority ultimately comes from God. Men corrupt authority. Bad things have been done by corrupted authority. The Apostle Paul was put to death by the authority he was saying you need to submit to. Jesus was put to death by authorities. But in all of that, they didn't say, so you know what? Bag all authority. You came from God, created in the image of God. You got corrupted by sin. Okay? So what do we do with you? Well, you're no good. No! You're awesome. You're great. You're a creation of God. That's why we're here, to redeem, to help, to mature in Christ. Government comes from God. Authority comes from God. But it gets corrupted. You're right. So what do? No more government. No. We've got to figure out how to redeem this thing. Two of the most challenging passages, we don't have time here, but go back and read Matthew 23, start around verse 2. Jesus said, now Jesus is about to go and lay out the religious teachers. He's going to call them a brood of vipers. He's going to call them hypocrites. He's going to, you know. But he starts off with this. when the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, do everything they tell you. But don't do what they do because they do not practice what they preach. Ah, no. That guy's a hypocrite. Is it true what they're saying to do? Does that violate your conscience as a Christian? It doesn't? Well, guess what? That's the authority. I don't want to pay taxes. So what does the government say? Does that violate your conscience? Yeah, no, it doesn't violate your conscience. You're just being greedy. Yeah. No, but so, you know what? But the minute the government tries to hurt other Christians or other people, i.e. the Nazis rounding up Jews, I think that's where Christians step in, start hiding them, doing things like that. All right? Once something happens that goes against the laws of God, that's where. But guess what? We don't just dispense everything at that. We keep paying our, keep doing. I will obey all authority as long as it doesn't violate my conscience of God. If I don't like the way things are done in the country, I can move. Or I can vote and try and do it. If it doesn't go my way, I can move, you know? So, well, I don't want... Guys, the other passage is Acts 23, the first part, where Paul gives a defense in front of the Sanhedrin. And he says something, and the high priest orders him struck. And so Paul, you know, the guy strikes Paul. And Paul immediately responds, says, God will strike you, you whitewash wall. And the people next to Paul say, how dare you talk to God's high priest that way? And Paul says, brothers, I did not know he was the high priest. For Scripture says, you shall not speak evil of your rulers. Now, you know what, guys? Between us, he probably was a whitewashed wall. You know? That probably was a very astute observation and accusation. So why did Paul apologize? Because he lived in a kingdom that was not of this world. He lived in a kingdom that would have respect for authority, but hey, when that authority said do something against God? No. And it cost him his life. But until that point, he was always seeking, all right, this is how I have to do. Will you pray? Will you? The scriptures say that, but that's up to you. Will you pray? That's what a Christian does. Prays for those people in authority. We pray if they're atheists and they're in authority, we're going to pray for them. If they're Muslim, and we're going to pray. If they're Jewish and in authority, we're going to pray. If they're Buddhist and in authority, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. You know why? Because he didn't give me a cafeteria selection. And you ought to go back and read the history books about some of the people they prayed for. That's what a Christian does. I love you guys. Whether you voted Republican or Democrat, or green, but as the president of the Knucklehead Party, I want to embrace all of you, all right? You're libertarian, it doesn't matter. There was something I loved that came out about a week ago. It might have been out, and you guys might have seen it. I'm closing up here. I'm sorry for going a little long, but I just want us to make sure we know how to think here. It was put out by Pedigree Dog Company. Dog food company. Did you guys see that? Anyone see? I don't know if it was a commercial. Go and YouTube it. I love the idea. It was Pedigree dog. But what they did is they had someone put on a Trump supporter t-shirt and go to a Clinton rally with this golden retriever dog and come running up saying, this dog was running around the parking lot. It has a leash, so I know it belongs to somebody, but we're trying to find, it's lost here. That person also later on put on a Clinton t-shirt and went to a Trump rally. Same thing, the lost dog. You ought to see what happened there. All of the people would look at the T-shirt. Oh, you're Clinton, or oh, you're Trump. But then the dog, and everyone's concerned about the dog. And everyone just, wow. And then someone comes running, oh, thank you. And you could see people are so happy together. They've been helping this Trump supporter find the owner for a lost dog, or helping this Clinton supporter finding the owner to a lost dog. And it was the funniest thing. You're going, wow, what a great, because one guy's saying, well, we may not agree on political issues, but we all love dogs. You know, and I'm just kind of like, come on, people. If a dog can do it, Christians got to be able to do it too, right? Yes. Yes. You know what? The Lord may come tomorrow, so it's all a moot point anyway. But, guys, please, will you believe? Will you choose? And will you pray? Okay?